We are busy with a series entitled Simple Prayer. And one of the things that we started talking about last week, if you maybe didn't come last week, I'll sort of just try and bring you up to speed, is that besides for three brothers in the congregation, I can't remember who they were, I think it was... No, Sean, these guys will never do it again. But most of us basically desire a great prayer life. And yet we are not currently necessarily satisfied with the prayer life that we have. And the question was, what is the problem? Is the problem a lack of desire? And I think that was an anonymous, no, I do desire it. No, I do understand that I need it. Or is the problem a know-how? How do I actually develop a great prayer life without complicating it? How can I keep it simple? How can I enjoy the simplicity of prayer and yet let my life be influenced and changed by it in many ways? And so last week we started and we said, okay, well, what is it going to take? Is we're going to be going through a four-week series and we're going to be taking a look at four simple steps that you can take no matter where you're at in your faith currently in your prayer life that will help you to sort of increase your prayer life to a more sustainable or a more rather satisfying level. And we said basically maybe you're here right now and what's going to happen is we're going to try and go up in our prayer lives here, and there's going to be these four steps. And most probably, these are going to be the most simplistic messages that I've ever done in church. I know last week, we basically looked at one thing, and that is to start off with, you got to have a plan. That usually the things that we plan are the things that get done. The things that we don't plan are the things that don't get done. We looked at several things like that, paying the bills and all kinds of things, cleaning the yard, the leaking roof, photos in a photo album. Things that we plan gets done. Things that we don't plan don't get done. And we looked at, well, what do we need to plan here? Where do we need to start if we wanted to be able to enjoy a great prayer life and have simple prayer? And we said, let's start with the basics. You need to get a time and you need to get a place. As you need to get a time and say consistently, this is the time that I know works best for me. If I were to inject 15 to 30 minutes of prayer into my day, my time is going to be 6 a.m., 7 a.m., 1 p.m., 9 p.m., whatever it might be for you. But this is going to be my time that I'm going to do it daily. And then two is a place, a solitary place, a lonely place, your mountain side, your garden of Gethsemane as it was for Jesus. What would be a solitary place for me? And again, different places for different people. It might be a park. It might be your study. One that we didn't recommend is in the bed. Okay, that is solitary and silence of a different kind that does not necessarily lead to a fulfilling prayer life. But those were the decisions that we said we need to make. It's basically, let's just start with, let me get a time. Let me get a place. And then let me be head-shaven sure about that. Meaning that if I don't stick to it, I'll shave my head. And so time, place, stick to it. Today we're going to continue step number two. Now you can't go on to step number two if you've not sort of decided on your time and place yet. So I would suggest that you catch on quickly if you're not there yet. Today we're going to take a look at a pattern. In other words, is there some possible patterns that I can bring to my prayer life that can actually help me? And I'm not talking about reciting certain words or certain prayers, but that there are certain patterns that could be helpful. Because sometimes we start off in the morning or in the evening in our prayer life and we don't really know where to go. Some of us, I've got my time, I've got my place, I'm committed to that, I listened to him last week, I'm doing it now, but here I am and I don't really know what to say. Should I be confessing my sin? Should I be praising him? Should I be singing songs? Should I just be begging for stuff? What should I be doing? How should I be doing it? So this morning, we're going to take a look at four patterns. There are several that I'm sure many of us are aware of and can use. And these four are not the way. It's simply a way. I want to introduce you to some things that could possibly help you with your prayer life. So you've got the time. You've got the place. What are some possible patterns that I can follow in my prayer life that can help me to keep it fresh, to keep it new, to keep it simplistic, so that I can enjoy the life of simple prayer? The first one we're going to take a look at is called the believer's armor. And it's in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read about that. In verse 10, Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Paul says that we are in a spiritual battle, whether you like it or whether you're aware of it or not. It's happening. That as much as there are angelic beings and forces trying to help and assist us, there's also dark forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And he says that Satan, Peter, the book of Peter talks about it, is basically like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And therefore he says, be sure and know this, that our fight is not against flesh and blood. Our fight is not against one another, husbands and wives. Who laughed? Someone's nudging their wife. Our fight is not against parents and children. Parents and teens. Teens and parents. And I'm sure that both of those parties are thinking at this stage, I hope the other party is listening. It says, our fight is against flesh, not against flesh and blood. It's against the dark forces of evil. In other words, Satan just uses situations, uses circumstances, uses feelings to psych us up against one another. He says, but how do we take our stand against them? He says, we need to put on the full armor of God. And he talks about six pieces or elements to this armor: the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel. He talks about a shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And really, if you go and dissect these things and you take them one by one, you'll see it's actually tremendous things to be able to pray through. Let's start with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Now, the purpose of the belt for a soldier was obviously they didn't have sort of the outfits that we have today. They had these tunics that they would run with, and they would trip over and fall on their face while advancing in battle. And so what would happen is with this belt buckled around them, they could take that tunic and put it in there as they would run. Why they just got rid of the tunic, I got no idea. Maybe it was very cold. But that's the way that they did it. And in the same way, obviously, we will fall flat on our face unless we have the buckle of truth around, or the belt of truth around our waist. And what are the things that makes us fall flat on our face? It is deceit, isn't it? And so here is a great opportunity to be able to pray in the morning saying, Father, please help me to put on the buckle or the belt of truth around my waist. And it's, Father, I know that today there are going to be moments where I'm going to be tempted to be people-pleasing. There are going to be moments where I'm going to be tempted to compromise on the truth. There are going to be moments with my boss, moments with my parents, moments with my spouse, where I'm not necessarily going to want to lie, but I'm just going to bend it or shape it in a way they would not be accurate and they would not be truthful. And so I pray, please, today, as I know my battle is not against my mom and my dad, my son or my daughter, my husband or my wife, my colleagues or my friends, I know that my battle is against the dark forces of evil. Help me to put on this buckle of truth. Basically, Father, I pray, help me to be honest in every issue that I tackle today. The belt of truth. Then he comes to the breastplate of righteousness. And obviously what the breastplate was for is to protect your vital organs. So it would, I don't know exactly how it looked. I'm sure you can Google image it. But it was basically to cover this part of your body and mostly to protect your heart. And in the same way, we need to be able to pray and say, Father, help me put on the breastplate of righteousness to cover my heart. What would that mean? Well, certainly one of the possibilities is, Father, help me to take on the character of Christ today. Help my heart to take on His compassion. Help my heart to be like Him today. Help me to make the kind of decisions today. And then you look ahead in your day and you say, Father, these are going to be my temptations. We looked at that towards the end of last year, that you can look ahead and say, I know this is what's going to be coming. Father, please protect me. Help me to be like your Son in those moments. Then feet, fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel. Call it, it's a little bit religious, but call it gospel shoes. What these guys had is they had sort of cleats or studs at the bottom of their shoes, boots, whatever it is that they wore, so that when they advance in battle, that they would not slip. And in the same way, if we want to advance God's kingdom, and if we want to help our neighbors and our colleagues and our friends and our children, we're going to have to make sure that we don't slip on our way to advance God's kingdom. So again, there is a great opportunity to pray and say, Father, please fit my feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel. That is, Father, please help me as I go about in my day today. Looking for opportunities in which I can bring your kingdom on heaven to earth in someone's life. Where there will be an opportunity where I can share with them the truth of the word, or maybe invite them to church, or somehow get them out to a Bible discussion, but somehow to be able to connect them with the good news. But I know I'm going to be afraid. I know I'm going to be distracted. So I pray, please help me to be focused. Help me to be aware of. Help me to see these opportunities as they come in my day, because I tend to miss them. Don't know about you, but this often happens to me. And I come at the end of the day and I look back and I say, but there were all these great opportunities that I could have embraced, could have used, that God has given me, but I got distracted and focused on other things. So Father, please fit my feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel. The shield of faith. The shield was fairly big that they used, and what they would do is that you would have the breastplate, but then you'd have a shield that is more or less the height of a man, and so you could literally stand behind the shield and take cover. And what we need, obviously, in our lives is we need a shield of faith. Because Satan keeps on shooting arrows at us. Whether it's arrows of disappointment, persecution, criticism, doubt. And I need to be able to pray in the morning, again, here's an opportunity or possibility in simple prayers. Father, I know that these things are coming. Help me to be able to stand behind this shield of faith, as I know that today I'm going to be criticized for the choices that I make and living according to your word. I know that this evening I'm going to spend some time with colleagues or with some family. I know that they're going to be tempted to persecute me. Again, as those arrows come, please help me to take up that shield of faith that will distinguish those arrows, that I will be ready to know what to do. After that, he says, then put on the helmet of salvation. Helmet, I assume we all know, was there to protect their head. And in many ways, what we need, which is most probably one of our biggest enemies, is our thought life. Meaning where we are tempted to think in directions that we shouldn't, where the helmet of salvation is that my thoughts and my mind should be filled with what it is that God has blessed me with and given me. So in other words, salvation is my mind needs to be filled with God has given me a new life in Christ. He has made me a part of His family. He has given me entrance into His kingdom. He has given me the gift of the Holy Spirit. On the other side of death lies for me eternal life with a God that I love. These are the things that needs to be in our head. These are the kind of things that needs to dominate our thought life. We need to be able to say, Father, please help me to put on the helmet of salvation that I won't even notice that pretty girl walking by. Father, help me to have on the helmet of salvation that I will not be distracted in the shopping mall and be attracted to all the glitz and the glamour of what's happening there and what's happening with the neighbor and what their house looks like compared to mine and their furniture and my furniture and their clothes and my clothes and what they're driving versus what I'm driving. These are the things, Father, that sort of goes to my heart and fills my mind. Help me to put on the helmet of salvation today. That is my prayer, that I'll put on the helmet of salvation as these things come. He closes out with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and that is obviously the only offensive weapon. That is, the other is all for protection, and the sword of the Spirit is there to attack, referring to the Scriptures. We obviously have no greater example in that than Jesus himself when he was tempted in Matthew and Mark 4 in the desert, where he quoted Scriptures to Satan all the time and said, listen, you know, it is also written. No, this is what the Bible says. No, this is God's will for my life. And the same way, we need to be able to say a prayer and say, Father, please help me to take up the sword of the Spirit today. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I do every morning is just before I do my Bible study, I say, Father, please give me clarity. Clarity as what it is that you want to teach me from the Scriptures. We sang a song earlier on, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart so that I could see more clearly what it is that you desire for my life. That's a simple prayer. That's one you can use. You don't have to use it every day. You can alternate with it, but just say, you know what, this morning, I'm going to keep it simple. What I need is I need the armor of God, and what I'm going to pray for is I'm just going to pray for that belt of truth. I'm going to pray for the breastplate of righteousness, for my feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel. I'm going to pray for that shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. There we go. A pattern. Simplistic. Can change your whole prayer life. Let's take a look at another one. Attributes of God. Have you ever gotten sort of stuck in a praise rut? And it's where you know that you need to be praising God. And you're starting the morning and you're wanting to praise God and you think, how do I do this? Without repeating what I said yesterday. How do I keep it fresh? How do I keep it new? One way that I recently, or a couple of months, read about that I quite liked was to be able to praise God in an alphabetical order. Now, again, guys, this is simple. This is not news flash, but this could be revolutionary for you. Now, let's take out of that and say, you know, today is A. And to think of all the attributes of God that starts with an A. Let's give it a bash. What starts with an A, an attribute of God? That's an actual question that you can answer. Awesome. Okay, God's awesomeness. What else? Almighty. Active. Able. Amazing. Action. I mean, so many things on A you get. You can even go and look in a concordance. You get the arm of God, the arrows of God. God is able. It's to be able to say, well, what I'm going to do is today I'm doing A and B. Tomorrow is C and D. Then B. What can you think of in B? B is a little bit harder, eh? Boldness of God. Beautiful. Brilliance. Benevolence. Blessings of God. It's to be able to just think of a B and say, okay, well, let me just praise God according to this. Now, I went and I did that, and the only thing that I found myself doing was, my prayer ended up something like this. Let's take F's. I would say, Lord, I praise you for being faithful, for being familiar with suffering, for being a father, for being a fire, for being the firstborn amongst many brothers, for being a fortress. But it ended up almost like I was praising him out of a dictionary. And those words had so much potential, but they sort of just fell flat. Then I read about a dude that mentioned this. I don't know if you guys have ever played this kind of game. It's called the word association. Sure, it has different names to it, but where you play a game, you're a circle of friends, and then you say, okay, well, what are we going to do? Someone is going to say a word, and then the whatever the first word is that comes into your mind, you need to follow on to that. For instance, if you say Cape Town, what is one of the first things that come to mind? Table Mountain. When Table Mountain is said, what is one of the first things that come to mind? Cable car. Okay. Or flat. So you guys get it. So you think Cape Town, you think cable car, or you think Table Mountain, you think cable car, you think usually tourist, or you think expensive, what have you. It's word association. And to be able to bring that same idea of word association into your prayer life with the attributes of God. Let me give you an example of what we said before in F. God, I want to praise you because you are faithful. You're dependable. You never change. You're always there when I call. You never leave me nor forsake me. You are loyal. You're consistent. Everything keeps on changing. This husband of mine. I'm sure none of you ever thought or felt that. These teenagers of mine, Lord. Again, I'm sure no one has ever. These parents of mine, Lord. They keep on changing, but you, Father, remain faithful. Father, I praise you because you are familiar with suffering. What does that mean? Because you know what it's like to be human. You had a choice. You had the glory of heaven, and yet you decided to come to earth to be able to experience what it is that I experienced, that you could point me in the right direction. Far as I'm tempted, you have been tempted. And everything that I feel, you have felt, and I praise you for that. Far, I praise you that you are my Father, that you have compassion on me, that you remember me, that you remember that I am but dust, and you don't expect more of me than what I'm capable of delivering. You think of me all the time. You are concerned about me. Fire. For I thank you that you refine me with fire. It's not always pleasant, but I can see this is how you've developed and grown me. For I thank you that there will one day actually be a consuming fire that will destroy everything that is hurtful and sinful to you, and that we can be close together. For I thank you for being a fortress, that you protect me, that you keep me safe, that you keep me secure. And then you'll see scriptures start coming to mind. We'll be able to say, oh, Lord, you're the one that keeps my lamp burning. You turn my darkness into light. With your help, I can run through a barricade. With my God, I can scale a wall. It is a simple pattern. You can keep on going like that if you take a couple of letters for quite some time. And before you know, time would have passed and you would be different. Because suddenly you know that you're in the presence of an almighty God. That is amazing. Another pattern. Let me do a third one here. The fruit of the Spirit. Now, let me just see if this, I can't remember if this is, don't put up the scripture reference. Let's see what comes. Is it, does the scripture reference come with it? Okay, just keep it at that. Okay, take the scripture reference away. There we go. Okay, for the teens, I've got a project for you. We're going to give you guys 1 minute. There are 9 fruit of the Spirit. If you guys can come up with the 9 fruit of the Spirit in the right order, you can choose a representative. That person will come up on stage, tell us the 9 fruit of the Spirit, because before you can pray through them, you need to know them. If you guys can get it right, I'll give you each a gift. Let's give them 1 minute. You can fellowship a bit. We're going to give them 1 minute to talk quickly, and then they're going to send up a representative on stage. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The great thing about taking this is you could pick 2 of these characteristics and you could pray about them in a day, and you can do it in 2 ways. As one is you could see how you see these characteristics manifested in God. As you could take love and you can say, God, I want to uplift you because you're such a loving God. Your compassions never fail. They are new every single morning. I don't know what I would do without your love, because so many things in my life falls apart and fades, but you remain consistent and your love remains consistent. Father, you're incredibly patient with me. I know how many times I've blown it, not only through the years, but even in this week and day. But you keep on reaching out. You keep on wanting to have a relationship with me. You keep on putting different people in my life and prompting me through your scriptures. I just appreciate so much your patience. And then you shift it from God to yourself. And you say, Father, please help me to love as you love. Because your love is unconditional. But I know that so often my love for my spouse is conditional. It's when they act the way I want them to act and when they treat me the way that I want to be treated, that's when I love them. Help me today that my love would be unconditional with my boss. I know that often they walk in the door and they got the wrong foot out of the bed and it's a bad day for me. Help me to continue to love them, irrespective of these things. And there in a week, I tell you, you can take those things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. You can just take two a day. And it's just a pattern. Maybe say, hey, today is the armor of God. Tomorrow I'm trying the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to start by saying, God, I appreciate in you. This is what I see in you. But as I see those things in you, I pray, please today manifest it in my life. You can even add on, I pray for my children. That even though they are only 6 months old or 2 years or 3 years, I pray that these things will be manifested in them. Because I know it's the fruit of the Spirit that ultimately changes our world when we live as you have lived. Simple pattern. Time, place, pattern. The last one, and we'll close out. Romans chapter 6. It's a bit of a corny one, but we'll go for it. Body parts. Sounds like a horror movie. Romans chapter 6, let's read verse 13. It says there in verse 13, do not offer the parts of your body to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as an instrument of righteousness. It is so easy for us to use what God has blessed us with and given us to indulge in sinful behavior. And he says, do not offer the parts of your body for sinful behavior. Do not just use them or do not use them for your own desires, but use them for God's righteousness, the behavior that God wants. And so again, there are two things that you can do here in this prayer. Is one is you can start with just being open and confessing. Let's take my eyes. Father, I want to apologize that as I look at my day that has gone by either today or yesterday, that I looked at things that I should not have been looking at. And I used my eyes in ways that you did not intend. And what I desired and what I wanted and love and lust of the world that you had no intention for. I'm sorry about that. And I pray that today will be different. I pray, Father, today that I will fix my gaze, that I would look straight ahead, and that I would focus my eyes and my attention on the things that matter to you, the things that will help me grow in my relationship with you, the things that will add to our intimacy. I pray that I will focus my eyes on the things that would help me to be a kind of person that can bring about a difference wherever I go, that will change my family. Father, I pray for my feet. Yesterday, my feet took me to places that I should not have gone. And I pray rather today that my feet will be set in your purposes. And I'll go to the places that you want me to go. Father, next Sunday, that my feet will head to church and not the driving range. That my feet will head to the Bible study group and not to Isidingo. Father, I know there's nothing wrong with Isidingo, but I know currently what I need more is the Bible. Father, my tongue, I've used today for profanity, for lies, for gossip, for slander. For I spoke about my colleagues in ways that are not appropriate. I said things and told stories and spread stories that could have stopped with me if I just kept my tongue in check. I pray, Father, today for my tongue. As simple as it is, I know that it can set a course of fire or a course of hope and light. And I pray that everything that I say today will be wholesome. And Father, I know that later today, as I'm getting with Susie the neighbor, we are going to be tempted to talk about our other neighbor. But I pray that you'll guide my tongue to say only what is helpful and only what is upbuilding. For I know that I've used my hands as expressions of anger in traffic, with my children, at my desk. And I pray today, rather, I'll use my hands to serve. That it'll be a blessing to my kids as I touch them and love them. That I will rather use that as expressions of love and affirmation. Expressions of change and how much I care, and that I can be your hands as you work through me today. Father, I pray for my heart. Its desires and affections it's drifted. It's gone to the things of the world, but yet I know that you enable me to set its course straight. I pray that today I will guard my heart above all else. For I know it is the wellspring of life. Something so simple. Eyes, feet, hands, tongue can change not only the course of your life, but the course of your family, the course of your colleagues, of your neighbors, and the city that we live in. I want to ask you today to take step two. A little step up. Time and place was maybe semi-easy to dedicate. But play around with these patterns. See what works for you. There are many others. I don't only say use these, but try it out this week. The armor of God, could that make the difference for me? Playing around with attributes and word association, the fruit of the Spirit, remember it with the passion that the teens did for nice chocolates. And something as simple as you forget everything, just look at your body, look down and say feet, hands, tongue, eyes, heart. I put it before God in prayer. God bless. Amen.